Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
When's the last time they both had a home game at night?
Doesn't happen that often.
When they're both home at the same time.
So if you're on your way out to the Citi Field or out to Yankee Stadium, appreciate you having me and Evan on. By all means, give us a shout. For a lot of you, it might be your first night in the ballpark in well over a year. I imagine it's got to be the case for some people going out there. We've Aaron Boone coming up in a few minutes as well. A lot to talk to him about, including tonight's lineup and the addition of Miguel Andujar, who's now back with the bigs. But first, let's say hi to Annie and Wontaw. Annie, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, love bugs. Happy Friday.
What's up with you, Cookie?
Happy Friday.
Well, anyway, I wanted to tell you a couple of things. First, oh my God, Larry, I love him. And you need to be good to him because it didn't sound like he likes you yet.
We'll get there.
It's getting there, though. You can tell. It's moving.
Two, you can stay at Ohika Castle. I think they have like 100-something rooms. I stayed there last month. Beautiful. Go
see?
There.
Great. There you go. Do they have, is the swingers pool there still or no?
At Ohika?
Yeah.
No, that I was not involved in, but... Mount Airy Lodge, I went there like 20-something years ago, and yes, I believe that we were.
Well, let me say this. I've gotten a lot of tweets about that. Mount Airy, apparently, they tore it all down, and they rebuilt it, and people say it's very nice now.
So maybe worth a visit.
So I wonder what do you think they did, though, with all the old vibrating beds and martini glass hot tubs, you know?
God, help me. Throwing up just thinking about it.
I remember the martini glass hot tub was a big thing.
And that was like on the commercial. You saw them like cheers digging.
That's right. You had to walk up a little ladder to get into it.
Look at you knowing it all. Okay, the real reason I called is because I don't believe I don't believe DeGrom's body was ever sore.
Okay.
I think he was simply sore at his teammates. He bust his ass for like Lindor, what is 150 batting average or whatever the hell it is. You know, it's... So if he wants to go and jump up and down while he's practicing,
you know what it
back,
is, Annie. Here's the thing, and I've gotten used to this. Even though I did freak out when the report first came out that he was missing a start, this has happened every year. There's been a Jacob DeGrom scare. A couple of years ago, he was swinging a bat against the Braves and had to leave a game after four no-hit innings, and we were all freaking out. Oh my God, this is it! He had a scare last year with his back in that late spring training in July. Yeah. So. This is what happens. And if that's the worst we have of Jacob DeGrom injuries, it's a win. So if he wants to go to shortstop and jump up and down, look, he's the best shortstop in New York right now. Who's kidding who?
True enough.
Gleyber Torres is the best shortstop in New York
right
now.
No home runs and seven RBIs.
It's not just about home runs, Evan. It's about hitting .313 since he lollygagged at the first base. You know that. And by the way, defensively...
Oh, he's been great.
He has been great.
I was just making a joke. Why do you got to be so literal about it?
That's because I'm a fan.
Is he also better than Lindor, really?
He is not better than Lindor defensively, no.
All right.
But he's better than him offensively right now.
You know what's happening? Sometimes you think I'm turning into you. I say shocking things. I'm a shock jock.
You called me a bitch today.
Correct.
I think it was a... You didn't say biatch.
No.
You went hardcore whiny bitch.
I did. I said that.
I think you owe me an apology.
I'll think about it. While I may be turning into you, as much as you may hate to admit it, in some small ways, you're turning into me.
Well, I need to watch more sports now because of you. Yes, I agree. I do.
It's not just that.
Because I need to be able to have a conversation. You know, beyond the fact that, that girl in the third row looked good. And I can't believe these pizza cupcakes cost $13.50, or whatever the case may be. I know that Aaron Boone's on the line. He misses me dearly.
Nice.
He's. I think Aaron may have me address the team next time they get into a slump.
Oh, God.
Listen, did I not get Stanton out of the slump?
Yeah,
it's all you. Aaron, thank Craig. He got Giancarlo out of the slump. You're welcome.
Well, listen. Well,
Can you hear me? I appreciate that, Craig.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
He's going with it.
Listen, right. When I made fun of him for quitting on the team in Cleveland with the sweatshirt, Aaron told him, and he's been in a hot streak ever since.
Aaron, can you confirm that Giancarlo still will put the sweatshirt on in between at-bats?
You know, it's funny you say that. I noticed on a highlight he was the other day, he had his sweatshirt on with his hood up going through on the iPad. He was talking to the player about something, and you did pop into my head, and I almost ran down and said, take that hoodie off.
See? At least you're thinking.
And Aaron, as soon as I saw the picture.
I think he had two home runs of that game. So.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as we saw the picture, it was brought up to Craig. Don't worry. He had to address it.
It was the night where Frazier walked. He came in and walked, and then you pinch ran for him.
It was the Wednesday game. It was the second game of the Astros series.
It was, and my rationale for him wearing the sweatshirt was that when Frazier got up, he assumed to be a double play ball. He wasn't going to get up.
Look at this. He can't take the L, Aaron.
The Aaron Boone Report is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, by Winters Brothers Waste Systems. Conveniently rent a dumpster online at Winters BROS, that's bros.com. Long Island's number one choice for waste removal, Winters Bros, and by Spectrum Mobile. Get unlimited talk, text, and data. You can save up to 40%. Go to SpectrumMobile.com today. Couple things from yesterday, and then we'll move forward. Evan and I came on right after the game. To be fair, I was not thinking at the time Evan was, and other people were as well. After seven innings, why not come back with Garrett in the eighth?
Just felt like that was enough for Cole yesterday. Obviously, having Greeny and Chappie there to finish the game, something we feel really good about. I think yesterday it was more of a grind for Garrett than, you know, obviously he pitched great. I don't think it was one of those days where he had his overwhelming stuff, but he pitched really well. And I think it was a little more of a physically demanding outing than otherwise. You know, people focus so much on pitch count all the time. It's not so much about that. It's just kind of workload. So we had talked about, you know, after the six, like, hey, you got one more? And he's like, yep. And then I felt pretty strongly that after seven, that was enough.
Do you, after the seventh inning, do you ask him, or is it just, no, you're out of the game? Was there ever a discussion about him coming out for the eighth?
I would say there was not a discussion. Now, with Garrett, you know, more so than any of our stars, he's someone that I do talk with a lot when I'm, because there are games with him where, you know, I am on the fence. Obviously, he's a guy that, you know, we're comfortable continuing to turn over the lineup when he's on his game. You know, he's the guy we want out there. So, typically, I'll start communicating with him in the middle innings. Sometimes we have some spirited conversations about, you know, where we're at, what we're thinking, and so he is somebody that I do communicate more so than any other pitcher, and frankly, it's pretty easy to communicate with them and get real feedback.
And you're right, by the way. Sometimes we look at pitch count and say 97, that's easy. There were two other things I was thinking about, and tell me if at all this factors in. Mm-hmm. He had an extra day's of rest, and he didn't throw that many pitches against the Tigers because you guys destroyed them, so you were able to get him out relatively early.
Yep.
Does those two things ever lead to, I could push him a little bit further because of that?
Yes, on the surface, yes. There, but again, I would say don't necessarily always focus on the pitch count. Yes, a pitch count is a nice gauge, but we do look at things, especially with Garrett, as, hey, we've pushed a couple times. This might be an outing where we don't push it, or we do throttle it back, or when we have, like, hey, this is an outing where we really can push it. And obviously, you know, what's the bullpen situation? Those things can factor in as well.
Look, the bottom line is if Chad Green did what he's done virtually every other outing, it's not an issue. We're not talking about it because he gets the side out. You go to Chapman in the ninth, he gets the side out, and you get the sweep. It became an issue only because, though, you know, Green didn't do what he normally does. Now, for you being there, you've had the one thing where, you know, you got to the 85%, so there's more normalcy in the dugout, obviously not having to wear a mask and all that stuff. From your perspective, What was it like hearing 10,000 people as loud as they were? Because for my money, it showed you how great New York fans are.
Yeah, I was taken aback by it. Like, whoa, like it caught me off. I knew it was going to be intense. I knew it was going to be raucous, but it's just been, you know, it's been so long since we've had, you know, obviously fans, but then that level. And it really did. That first night walking out there 15 minutes before the game, it felt like a playoff game. I mean, that's what it kind of felt like. And it was the intensity, was the passion was there really nonstop all three games. And it was fun to kind of be in that intense environment where, you know, you have those games over the course of a season, you know, as much as we focus on the day by day and turn the page, you know, there are games in the regular season that, you know, take on a little bit more meaning, take on a bigger feeling. This series was certainly one of those.
The fans hate the Astros. It's obvious. They think they cheated you guys. I know you weren't there managing that year, but they feel like they cheated them out of a pennant in 2017. Was there a conversation with some of the guys in the room? Because who knows, maybe they would get emotion and say, hey, this is our chance. We saw what the Dodgers did, Joe Kelly. We've seen what the A's have done. That, you know what, we're going to take justice in our own hands. Was there ever a discussion about maybe we shouldn't do it or maybe we should do it? Was it ever talked about with some of the guys?
I think the discussion, not only before that series, but kind of leading up, as it was a major topic, obviously, in spring training of 2020 when we first came back. It was a major topic, obviously. So we've talked about this in the past, and I think one thing we've tried to focus on is, you know, and obviously we have different rivalries during the year with Boston, with Tampa, and things like that, where, you know, things get a little bit heated sometimes. But, you know, we do try and get out ahead of things and really try and keep the focus on us. You know, there's no doubt the environment, the atmosphere, the game has a way of getting you a little more, even maybe a little more sharply ready and a little more up to play almost. But we really talk about, let's worry about us and let's not get caught up in all the extra stuff.
I want to correct something I said, because I said 2017. Me personally, as a baseball fan, I think there was something shady in 2019, and you certainly were there. Do you feel comfortable about 2019's ALCS, or is there a part of you that still wonders, was that on the up and up?
I've certainly moved on from it. I've wondered, I've looked at all the stuff, and you never know. But I think it's been important for me and for our team to really turn the page and move forward and know that certain things have been handled. And as a result, a lot of things, you know, have been addressed and cleaned up in our sport that were probably going down a bad path.
Can you imagine, as raucous as it was, though, if Chapman drills? I mean, I maybe even texted you. You don't respond to my text, but I think I may have said, drill Altuve, let's go. Now, that place would have been crazy if that had happened. I would have loved it. Now, one of the great plays that no one is ever going to talk about because you lost the game, right, and I think shows you really where this guy is at compared to 3 weeks ago when we talked to you about, you know, lollygagging a ball to first base. What Glaber did yesterday with the shift on and being heads up, and obviously, look, you know, running a third, coming home and getting you within a run is the great play that won't be talked about. But for you, I would think it signifies he's now got his head exactly where you want him to be, yeah?
Yeah, I really like where Glaber's at. You know, obviously a lot of the talk around Glaber right now is he doesn't have a home run. But if you're watching our games all the time, the at-bat quality's been there. He's come up in some big spots and delivered. I feel like really since the first homestand, I feel like his defense has been excellent. And yesterday was just a special instinctual play. You know, obviously as an infielder and a guy that, you know, shifts and knows some of the positions you can get yourself in, you know, one of the things we work on so much in the shift is, you know, where you're going to be deficient if a ball takes you to a certain place, and making sure that everyone's kind of accountable and having to cover up certain things. So Glaber is acutely aware of that stuff. And obviously, you know, showed great instincts in understanding that situation. But what's cool about it, and watching the replay, obviously he was right on top of it and going to third base. But then as he's going to third, processing, okay, the catcher coming down the line, okay, you see him kind of glance and kind of almost subconsciously, all right, where's the pitcher? Is there any movement towards home plate? It was just a really special on-the-fly instinctual play, and really exciting to see him and kind of his entire game right now, the way he's playing.
Yep. It was a very exciting play. I think as a baseball fan, it was just awesome to see because it was so rare.
Look, plus, the guy's batting over 300 since that day when you had to have a talk with him. You know, I know he doesn't have the home run, but he's hitting the ball.
I thought you were going to say he's over 300 since you did something.
Yeah, you'll take credit for that. Don't worry.
I only take credit for things that I earn.
Oh. Yeah, Giancarlo, right.
Giancarlo Stanton, ever since the day in Cleveland. I don't know what you said to him, but you know, clearly that had an impact.
He is, and tell me if you agree with this, because obviously he performed well in the playoffs last year. We shouldn't just dismiss that. And I thought his first year here was good. The guy went out and played every game. Is this the hottest you've seen of Giancarlo? Is this like the first Miami Giancarlo we've seen? What do you think about this run he's on right now?
You know, man, the playoffs were special because I think what gets lost maybe a little bit in the playoffs is the pitching staffs he was doing it against. Like Cleveland staff and then obviously Tampa staff last year. Like, you know, hits and hard hits and homers are not easy to come by against them, and he was just completely locked in. But I actually felt like last year, even during the regular season, it just got interrupted. You know, he got off to a great start opening night, you know, take Scherzer deep, and he's playing well. Similar in 19, he just missed so much time. So in my eyes, in my view, this has been boiling. Like, this has been, I'm not surprised by it. But no question, I mean, I think this stretch he's been in for now a couple weeks, it has been, I mean, we just all look up at the board waiting for, all right, what was that exit
view? Right.
Like there's two a game that are 117, it's unbelievable.
Is he, and we have a few questions about Andujar, who's back, he's in the lineup today, but kind of related to that, is Giancarlo an option to play left field, to play right field, to be in the outfield occasionally? Is that on the table?
It's something that I'm certainly talking about. I feel like physically he's in a really good place. He's moving well. He does all his work. The only, you know, the one thing that's a little bit of a struggle with it is, you know, getting him built up out there. Like, to go start him and play him nine innings, you know, might be a little bit of a challenge. So, you know, if we got in a pinch, and yesterday we were almost in a pinch, you know, when we had
Sanchez left, right?
Yep. Gio come out of the game, and then Hicks was cramping up, and he might have had to come out. So we're potentially up against it a little bit and would have had to get a little bit creative. But I would feel very comfortable with him going out there in a pinch, like, you know, for a few innings. You know, the question is he ready to go out there nine innings and that? But physically, he's definitely capable of going out there and does most of his work. His conditioning work is taking fly balls.
This is going to be a really stupid question for you. Is it really that hard physically to ask a guy who's in great shape to play nine innings of outfield?
No, but when you're doing it back to back, you put yourself in a vulnerable position, especially a guy that's had, you know, chain leg reactions and things like that. When you, there's usually a build up to that puts you in a better position to kind of safely do it. So no, is it a big deal? Would he, you know,
because he's clearly in great shape. I mean, the guy must work out in the gym 3 hours a day.
Yep, but playing a sport and playing, you know, that's, you know, what Luke Voit's doing right now. It's like, one of the biggest things that is the build up of the, you know, going out there for nine innings, sitting down, going back out in the field, moving around, torquing your, like, it's all a different level and a kind of unique level of conditioning that you got to kind of get through.
Why today is Andujar at first base and DJ LeMahieu at third base?
Feel like, because DJ's a really good defender at third, with today's alignment, I have Wade at second, Glaber, and DJ gives us a really good, you know, infield balance there. Miggy worked really, we had him work extensively last week, about 5 or 6 days in a row, where he was doing a lot of first base work, a lot of good first base work. So, honestly, it was something I toiled with overnight, and actually this morning, talked to Mendy, and we kind of sat down and kind of, because I really could have gone either way with it,
right.
and we decided let's go with Miggy at first and DJ at third.
Does it mean that, because Miguel Andujar is here, it sounds like the Gio Urshela injury is minor, which is great news. You've got Luke Voit coming back. Mm-hmm. Will Miguel Andujar get a chance to play a lot, and where are the at-bats coming from? Will he play a lot of left field? Where do you kind of see Miguel fitting in right now?
We'll see. I mean, it's kind of fluid. It's kind of day-to-day right now. He certainly has some position flexibility now. I feel really good about the way since the first time he started playing regularly in the outfield, I feel like it's a natural position for him. I feel like he moves well in left field. So he does give some position flexibility now with the ability to play left, third, and first. And then we'll just see. We'll see, how this weekend unfolds, where Gio's at kind of in his timeline. I don't think Odor's going to be very long, so that kind of factors in. And then obviously Luke should be back at some point, early or middle next week.
When you saw the Odor play at the plate, were you thinking major problem in the moment when he hypersented that knee?
Yeah, I saw it pretty well. Especially as someone who's been through a lot of knee stuff,
sure.
It got my attention right away. And you saw how I ran right out onto the field,
yep.
Because I saw it pretty well. I saw it, the hyperextension. I was like, oh no. And then to get, in game, I knew they, did the physical testing of checking his ACL and the stability of the knee. And I knew I had heard that went well right away. And then obviously he was going for the MRI, and to get good news on that was a little bit of a relief, because it definitely got my attention right away.
We're talking to Aaron Boone. It feels like, and this is not talked about that much, but Aroldis Chapman is dominating like we've never seen before. I mean, he's like a cheat code out there right now. What are you seeing with Aroldis and the way he's throwing the baseball? Because this is incredible.
Yeah, I think it goes back to last year, actually. And I think what gets lost a little bit in last year was because, he gave up the home run, obviously, to Tampa in the playoffs, shortened season. He started the year on COVID. I think what gets lost is how well he was throwing the ball actually last year, and how good he was at how much better his command was and his strike throwing was. And I think it goes back to some little minor tweaks that he made in spring training last year. I think Matt's worked really well with him as far as getting his delivery really consistent and low maintenance. And that's lent itself to better strike throwing, better mechanics, so his stuff is coming out more consistently. So instead of fluctuating, at times with velocity or with command, because he's so sound right now in his delivery, he's got command of his fastball. He's throwing it where he wants. He can strike the slider. It's a real good pitch that he has a feel for. And really, since going back to when he first broke out the split kind of late last year and then carried it into spring training, it's like a pitch that he's got great feel for, and obviously the results have been there. I mean, it's been a nasty third pitch, and I think something that's going to be a longevity pitch for him. And certainly since I've been here, this is as good as I've seen him, and I don't know that I've seen a closer in a better place than he's throwing the ball right now.
Talking to Aaron Boone for another minute or two here, as we do every week. Of course, Nationals in town tonight. If you're on your way to Yankee Stadium, enjoy it. And appreciate you listening to Carton and Roberts here for a few minutes. Everyone talks about Jacob DeGrom and whether or not he gets frustrated, whether it's a lack of run support or whether it's his one loss record over the course of a career. And I thought, there was Paul O'Neill during the broadcast yesterday made a point that the Yankees this year are 4-3 in Gerrit Cole starts. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, is Gerrit frustrated by that at all? Or is he similar to DeGrom and, look, I'm going to go out there every 5 days, do my thing. My ERA is under 2. If we win, great, we want to win. But I'm not going to get frustrated overall by the team's record in games I start.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think he's frustrated. I think, he's frustrated like we all are when we lose a game.
Sure.
But you know, after losing opening day before 24 hours ago, we were 4-4-1 in this last five. So, I mean, Garrett's obviously great at what he does, but he is, he's been such a good pro and a good Yankee and like a great teammate, and like he's so invested and so one of the things I love about Garrett is he's so hooked up on even the days he's not pitching. You watch our games, you know, half the time he'll be sitting behind me asking me questions or telling me what to do.
Yeah, he talks the whole game. You do notice that he's nonstop, like, hey, stop talking so much.
Yeah. So, but I love it, and he's the complete package of this massive talent, ace pitcher, but all the other intangible things. Like, he's a great teammate. Really, all he cares about is winning. And, you know, he's going to do whatever he can to help in any way he can to, you know, and sometimes it's challenging people. Sometimes it's calling people out. He's been a lot of fun to be around.
Do you have a favorite chant that the Yankee fans chanted at the Astros, or a favorite sign?
I can go through them if you want. We can go through them.
Yeah, we can go through all of them.
Okay,
if you like.
You've got the F Altuve. then you had F your birthday.
That wasn't bad.
That was a.
I like the at Kyle Tucker. They chanted, "We don't know you."
Oh yeah.
I can you imagine if 45,000 people were there?
Oh.
As good as it was with 10,
it would have
been a playoff game. It was awesome. It was the fans really, you know, deserve a tip of the cap for these last three games. They were great, no doubt.
Yeah, they really were.
And you know what I wonder? I saw the story that, you know, Willie Mays just turned 90 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about, I don't know why I thought about you when I was thinking about Willie Mays, but you literally grew up in a Major League Baseball clubhouse.
Yeah.
Was there ever a guy that you came across that wowed you, that you were, intimidated is not the word I'm looking for, but I'm going to use it, where you were in awe of or intimidated by, considering how comfortable you were your entire life being around ball players?
Oh, man. No, I mean, I can, I remember meeting different people at different times. I remember meeting George Foster, you know, as a visiting Reds player in the bowels of Veterans Stadium. I loved him as a 4-year-old. Like, I loved,
right,
you know, him. I remember my mom walking me down to their clubhouse and I met him. So that was, but the guys that my dad played with, and he played with a ton of great players,
yeah,
and Hall of Famers in Philly and California and in Kansas City. Reggie Jackson, when my dad played with him in California, he and I became really close. He kind of took me under his wing and treated me so well. Rod Carew was somebody that we were very close with and lived close by. And when I was in middle school, I used to go over and wash his cars, and his daughters were my age, so we hung out and stuff. So. Cal Ripken, I met at the 1983 All-Star game that my dad was in Comiskey Park, and I think that was Cal's first All-Star game when they won the World Series that year. And
yeah,
I remember how cool he was to me, because my dad was number 8, Cal was number 8, so he kept, hey, what's up, number 8? So when I was out there shagging and stuff, that was pretty cool. So, I mean, I have amazing stories. I don't know if there was anyone that I was necessarily intimidated by, unless somebody was kind of mean.
Yeah,
to
that's
me
why I said it's probably the wrong word, but like, you know, there's still guys, even though, you know, like Rod Carew to you might be like Uncle Rod, just like a friend. But there are guys that you might have been.
There was one guy. He's going to remain nameless. And if I named him, you guys probably wouldn't even. Evan might, but you guys wouldn't even know who he was. But
right,
my brother and I, my brother, Brett's 4 years older than me. When we were in Anaheim, when we would shag out in the outfield, he used to kind of like big league us and like shoo us away like we were messing with his routine or whatever.
Right.
And he wasn't that great of a player either.
That's usually how it works.
A jerk. It was right. Brett and I kind of talk about him to this day. Like, how about that tool?
Oh, come on. You got to give us initials or something.
No.
Yeah, because it is weird, like, based on, you know, how you grow up, you know, some guys are larger than life to other people. But I think, like, Pat Mahomes. You know, yeah. Patrick Mahomes grew up shagging flies, you know, at Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
You know, and there's someone put a picture out today of a young Patrick Mahomes, I think with Johan Santana when he was here, like shagging flies and stuff. He was obviously a little bit older at that point. But yeah, for you, you know, you look at it differently. That's why I wonder if there was a guy that was like larger than life for you, you know, growing up or at any point in your, you know, your lifetime, even before you became a pro.
Yeah, they're my dad's teammates. Like, I don't know, Bo Jackson was my dad played with him in Kansas City, and he was Bo Jackson was really tight with my younger brother, who was like when my dad played in Kansas City, we still lived in Southern California, and that's when I was in high school. It was the end of his career, so my little brother was in Kansas City all the time. So he became pretty tight with Bo, who was at that time obviously, you know.
Sure.
Bo knew everything.
Yeah, megastar, yeah.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
Bo's got, I've been in a lot of locker rooms and seen a lot of naked men, as you have. Bo Jackson still has a body I've never seen any other professional athlete have.
Adonis?
No, not. It was like...
Normal?
I don't know, maybe if Aaron's ever seen him, just topless. He would, like, when you hear the term, like, barrel-chested, but not defined like he's going to go out and win, like, a Mr. Olympia competition, but... There was a thickness to that dude's body in his heyday that I've never seen on another athlete my entire life.
You know, we throw around men among boys. I mean, he was the ultimate. He was just way better and more physical than you.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at the guy accomplished.
By the way,
incredible.
That's a good guy to be friends with, too.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, absolutely.
His archery game is tight, too.
Is that
really?
Right? I didn't know
never
that.
Never knew that. He really can do everything.
There you go.
Yep. All right, well, listen, Aaron, good having you on. Good luck tonight and for this series against the Nationals. And if it once in a while, just to make me feel good about myself, feel free to return a text.
I've returned a couple.
It's been a while.
I mean, you texted Aaron and said, drill Altuve.
Yeah, he didn't respond to
that. What'd you think he was going
to
say?
He didn't respond to that one.
Yes, right. You got it. That would have been the great response.
I'll talk to you guys next week, all right?
All right.
How about that?
See you later.
All right.
See you
guys. All right, talk to you. There's Aaron Brewer. The Aaron Brewer Report's made possible by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees. All right, so there you go. You got all your answers, I think, right?
Yeah, man. Giancarlo may be able to play the outfield.
Yeah. I guess.
Are you against it?
No, that's why I asked the question. Like, I think sometimes we overstate how hard it is to be a baseball player physically.
Well, because he said he needs to ramp up.
I'm acknowledging it's very hard to hit a ball. Right. I'm not talking about that.
Right.
I don't understand why it's so hard physically to play baseball when there's not, and I guess his answer is the start and stop.
Well, and also because he's not used to it. I mean, think about it. Giancarlo hasn't played the field consistently in years, but look at the Yankees right now. They are getting no production out of left field. That's just a fact. You mentioned Clint Frazier, mentioned Brett Gardner. They're not getting production out of left field. They've called up a guy today in Miguel Andujar who's going to get the play probably for the next week. Guy's going to get the play. If he hits, guess what happens? He stays in the lineup. So is Andujar your left fielder? Do you play Giancarlo a little bit in left field? And I think as a baseball team, you want options. I don't think anyone's suggesting Stanton should become the everyday left fielder. But hey, once in a while, wouldn't hurt if he can go out there and play the outfield. But right now the priority is let him continue to hit the baseball and actually stay on the field. Because that's the amazing thing right now about Stanton. He's playing. The last 2 years, the guy's missed so much time. And right now, he's hitting the ball, but he's out there.
Yeah, no doubt about that. 877-337-6666. After the break, we will release the video. This week's FSU Friday. It does involve Evan throwing a baseball. Not well. Missing a target from 10 feet away.
I was trying to ramp up the velocity.
Hold on.
What do you want from me?
10 feet away on three consecutive throws. What?
You believe that editing? I think that may have been edited.
No editing.
Okay, it wasn't.
Because you even say at one point, now the count's 3-1.
No, I did say that.
Three consecutive balls. He's trying to hit a 50-inch TV screen.
Listen, man.
From 10 feet away.
It wasn't easy to break that stupid TV screen. I realized I had to ramp it up.
As we were learning the video. Plus, the gauntlet has been thrown down. I guess I'm not getting those weights, am I? Interesting. You got to watch to the very end, including a bonus video after the credits. We'll release that video in a couple seconds.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
CeeLo is here with an update, and then we'll get back to your calls. I do want to have Anna in Long Island real quick first. Anna, good afternoon. How are you?
Great. How you doing, guys?
Great, Anna. What's cooking?
So I'm so glad that you mentioned the DeGrom video because I watched it, and it was great. So I want to see him play shortstop next time Guillermo's pitching.
You do? Okay.
Next time Guillermo's pitching, that's good. I like that.
Very funny. Good call. Now you're like a real fan. I like that.
I bet
you
at some point, hopefully Jake's going to finish his entire career with the Mets, like the last day of his career, 44-year-old Jacob DeGrom will run out and play shortstop for a couple of innings. I think we will get that, down the road, yes.
There you go. You're not bothered at all by it, huh?
No, well, you do remember a few years ago when the players were getting hurt and Ron Darling was all upset and he said, you know, when I was playing, we didn't do all heavy weights and all that. We would do baseball things.
Well, that's a different issue. But I hear what you're saying, that as long as he's doing a baseball activity, you're not going to get out of
him. He's an athletic guy.
He is a good athlete.
And I watched the video, and it's true. My first takeaway was, wow, he looks healthy. That's great. And I guess that's the difference between you and I.
You know,
I am more positive.
Something about the Mets.
You are more negative.
Someone told me, I meant to mention this a couple days ago, because it's so out of context to anything we ever talk about. It's not just the Mets. I only paid attention to the Mets. Because the Yankees were not on this list. All right? The claim was, and I apologize for not telling you where it came from. That's on me. That there are three teams in all of baseball that don't have a guy that could dunk a basketball.
Now, really?
I don't know how you would know that.
Wait a second. Jacob DeGrom can absolutely dunk a basketball.
Apparently not.
Based on that video, his vertical is good enough to dunk
a
basketball.
How tall is DeGrom?
It's got to be
6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Well, who made that claim, then?
I got to remember where I read it.
I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but, like, where did that claim come from?
Yeah, but it's sort of context. Like, how would you even know that?
Exactly. Maybe they polled every player, like a little, you know,
maybe.
SI used to
I
do
guess
players.
That's
but it's also making an implication that you know everyone's tried it. I mean, there's a possibility Jacob DeGrom has never tried to dunk a ball, and you give him three opportunities. He is an athlete, and he's a competitor. Okay? He wants to kill you in everything,
forget
whether
about
it's ping pong
I mean,
or baseball.
He's a good athlete. So I don't know how high he could jump to dunk.
No, but I think the competitor aspect matters because I think
not
he'll
with dunking
do it.
It doesn't.
If you continue to practice, you would.
Oh, yeah. If you told me that he couldn't do it and it drove him to be able to do it?
Exactly.
I guess.
How about Taiwan Walker? That dude's 6'4".
I would think Taiwan Walker could
see him with a muscle shirt after the
but
game.
But maybe he's too
ripped.
Thick to dunk.
Maybe.
Yeah. He may not have ups. He may not.
I don't know. By the way, coming up in the next 10 minutes or so, maybe, well, let's call it 15 minutes, you have a chance to win a six-pack of tickets, but not just any tickets, tickets in your own private suite for the Brooklyn Nets-San Antonio Spurs game coming up on May 12th.
Yeah, so hopefully they win a game before then. That'd
be
pretty nice.
They've lost four in a row now, they say.
Yes, they have.
And they are slipping down the old playoff.
Well, here's the facts. They are going to be the 3 seed. That's
it
a fact.
That way,
they're not
going
to be the 2 seed. All of destiny's in the Bucks' hands. They have a soft schedule. They've given up the tiebreaker by losing those 2 games. The Brooklyn Nets are going to have to go on the road to beat Milwaukee and beat Philadelphia if they want to come out of the East. That's the reality.
Yeah, listen, it's not getting. And I know they're the mantra afterwards was, "This is going to be good for us."
Let's see.
I don't know how it's good for you. And yes, Harden is not playing.
Well,
that's a huge part of this.
Can I actually answer that?
Fair.
And I don't want don't take this as a spin because I was pissed last night. Here's where it could be good for them. Until the Milwaukee games, not even the Philadelphia game, they have faced no adversity on the court. Hadn't happened. Every loss they'd had is, well, they were missing this guy. This was the first time where the games mattered. You had two of the stars out there, and they came up short. So I will say this as a fan who's watched every minute of every game, starting with the first game with the Bucks, the second game with the Bucks, and last night against Dallas. This is the first time they have faced adversity on the court. And if that's something they can grow from, great. I'm not feeling that way this morning or this afternoon.
Was it 6 games left?
But that is true that they had faced no on-court adversity until this losing streak.
Well, but if you face adversity, you got to overcome it.
I agree.
For it to have some meaning.
I agree with you. So go beat the Nuggets this weekend. Go finish the season strong. And let's see James Harden come back. I'm glad that James Harden said, oh, I'll be back for the start of the playoffs. Let me see it. The season ends, Craig, in a week and a half.
Yeah, next Sunday, I think.
So when's he coming back?
When's he coming back?
Well, he's not coming back this weekend, I don't think.
Maybe for that Spurs game while some lucky listeners
there
in the
suite. There you go. Well, coming up, you have a chance to win your own suite, which is just fire. So that's like one of the greatest giveaways the fans ever had. Of course, you know, regular season Yankee tickets are better, but we have those too. So no worries at all. What are
you're
you
looking for a response?
You look so forlorn sometimes.
I'm annoyed that
when the Nets come up because they've lost four in a row.
Because I'm a diehard fan.
I can't believe
annoyed.
A team with that much talent could lose four games in a row at any point.
Here we go.
I'm just saying.
Listen, I don't want to crush the guy, but I will. KD was awful last night. Let's just call it
one of ten in the second half.
Kevin Durant was awful last night. Now, I don't expect that to happen again. Kyrie was brilliant. Their defense down the stretch sucked. Offensive rebounds continue to kill him. And I have no confidence in the coach. But if you ask me right now, and you're not, so I'll ask it for you.
Yeah.
You have confidence, Evan, they're going to win a title?
You're talking.
It's wavering.
You're asking yourself questions and answering
them?
Yeah,
because you won't answer. Ask
well,
it.
Because they sent me a new mock-up of the FSU Friday shirt.
Yeah.
You don't and they're it? Trying to knock one color out of it so that it's not too expensive.
Oh, come
right
on.
Now, it's a $30 shirt.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No, for the. So when the listeners go to buy it.
Consumer. Okay, good.
Yeah,
that's
if
better.
We can knock it down to a six color shirt, it'll be less than $30.
So what color did they knock out?
Let me see what you're working with there.
One
hold that up for me.
1 second.
Because you guys already altered it once today to clean it up a little, make it a little fresher,
eliminated
a little tighter.
Well, so I'm saying, FSU. Do we have to have FSU in the shirt, or is it? Does it speak?
No,
for
no, no, no.
That?
I disagree. FSU needs to be in the shirt.
All right, then I'll take away this email I'm sending.
You really think it's smart to take FSU away from the shirt?
I don't know.
I'm telling you, I think that's dumb.
He's trying to cut corners to save the people some money.
Just make it a $30 shirt and leave it the way it is.
I didn't say anything about the colors. I'm saying that the whole point is if we're selling an FSU shirt, I know we have a logo that's being established, but I still think people need to understand.
They dropped the color out of that
That's
one.
Fine.
You good with that?
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Sure. But it says looks FSU. Good. You got to keep that up there.
Yeah, and you got to keep Carton and Robinson,
all right.
Of course.
Sure.
Yeah, you got to keep our show name up there, yes.
Of course. Cool.
All right, Seeler's here. What are you? I'm sorry?
What?
Were you trying to speak to me?
No.
You sure?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I
made it very clear exactly what I had to say.
I did see the end of the FSU video,
yeah.
And it seems like there was something you wanted to say to me.
No,
so I wasn't sure.
There was something
was the
I wanted to say to you, and I made it crystal clear what I had to say to you. You can have those weights. When you decide to,
you better start driving to work again because
nice.
I need those weights.
Nice.
And then, Chris, from you, I need a barbell.
Get this.
It's a fine one.
I don't think I have one, but.
Damn it.
All right, what do you got?
All right, brought to you by Bruni and Campisi Home Comfort and Efficiency Company serving Westchester, Fairfield, Rockland, and Putnam counties. A couple newsy things here just to get your table set. You guys obviously just spoke to Aaron Boone, Yankees Nationals, first of three. Jameson Taillon, Patrick Corbin coming up from the stadium, 6:25 pre. The MRI on Gio Urshela did come back pretty clean structurally.
What was the MRI?
Day to day.
His
knee?
Knee?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes.
I didn't see how he could have possibly hurt his knee.
They actually said they're not even sure what play he was injured on, but
it was weird.
He said it didn't feel right.
Yeah, but it wasn't. So
was
it could have been the defensive play.
Yeah, that's what Boone assumed, but I guess today they said we're not sure
watching
what play
the game,
he
there was
hurt
never
on.
A play that made it seem like, okay, he got hurt here. It was bizarre, but it's great news because he's not going on the IL.
Day to day.
And they need him because of how solid he is defensively.
Even better, the Yankees don't have the Mets medical staff, so we know he's not going on the IL.
Have you? No. You can't let that BS go, and I'm sure C-Mac will agree.
Carlos
I know you've been away for the last few years.
Thanks.
But the New York Yankees. Because that was a schmuck. I didn't call you any names.
Shot taker.
Listen.
Good.
The New York Yankees and health. I would not be taking shots at anybody.
I've missed that.
All right, so C-Mac, I'm here for you because you just boiled his bones and every Yankee fan listening. So I know you made a reference to 5 years ago, and for everybody listening, innocent mistake. It's okay. He apologizes. Never say that again.
Okay. I have nothing to apologize for.
Have you seen what happened to the Yankees' health in 2019?
I wasn't here.
Okay. It still happened, though.
There's a difference between bad things happening health-wise and misreporting.
Dude, Aaron Judge got hurt in a game in September, and they never diagnosed it until the following spring training. Craig,
I don't
hello?
They shut down Severino three separate times in spring training and then gave him Tommy John surgery a month in after coming
this
back.
This is one of those
there's been some errors.
You just have to go with it.
What, do they hire the Mets doctors for a year?
You can make that joke. They
completely redid their medicals, their training staff.
It was so bad. Yeah. CeeLo's right. They had to just blow it up. It was so bad.
And luckily this year it hasn't been. Like, things are going well. But
the judge thing was a little weird, you know.
But you know what?
Lower body stuff.
Did I mention Bobby Valentine's running for mayor? All right, what do you got, Chris?
Yep, Mets, Diamondbacks, David Peterson, Zach Gallen, and we talked about DeGrom. He did throw a pen today and took the ground balls at short. They'll check him on in the morning before announcing his next start. You get the Knicks and the Suns, 10 o'clock tonight. Road trip continues. Quickly and Burks are doubtful. Zion Williamson has a fractured left finger. He is out indefinitely. Oh, that is a blow for the Pelicans as they try to get into the play-in tournament in the West.
He can't tape it next to his other finger?
Well, indefinitely, so maybe he will.
Dude, they're a game and a half out of the 10th spot. Yeah. They're done.
If he's not playing, that's what I mean.
Well,
they said indefinitely. That's what I'm saying. So. Tape it up.
Dude, tonight, and I know you're going to be glued to Knicks' son, so will I.
Yes.
Lakers Trailblazers. Yes. Must-watch
huge
TV.
Game.
They're tied for the sixth spot. The loser drops to 7, which means they would potentially play the Golden State Warriors in the play-in tournament. Sign me up for Lakers Warriors.
And LeBron
baby.
Is definitely out, right?
So LeBron
that's
is out.
It's a weird story, actually, about LeBron, where
they're
saying he's out, but not based on the injury.
So something else is going on with LeBron. Mm-hmm. None of us know, but he's not playing. And Anthony Davis has looked like a shell of his former self since coming back. We know about Dennis Schroeder. They're in trouble.
Yep. Davis played 9 minutes last night and left with back spasms.
They're in a different kind of trouble than the Nets are, as much as they're struggling. They dropped to 3. That's my worst case scenario. The LA Lakers, the defending champions, may be in a play-in tournament.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I would get great joy out of them being in the play-in tournament and losing. I really would. They've become a very unlikable franchise right now. So I would
love
that.
They become?
Yeah.
They've been one since their existence.
No, I don't agree with that.
The Lakers.
The Magic Johnson Lakers were very likable.
They were. Really?
Yeah.
You liked them as a kid?
They were likable. I'm a Knicks fan. But Johnson Lakers, I didn't hate them. I hated the Celtics.
Okay. Now, in fairness, I wasn't around for the Magic Lakers, but
you
for
would have
the
loved them.
Okay. The Kobe Shaq Lakers, I couldn't stand. The Kobe Powell Lakers, I couldn't stand.
But I'm not referencing them.
But that's the last 30 years, and for a lot of people listening, that's the Lakers for us, no?
I'm still in the demo.
You barely made it, but yes.
Real quick, just to circle back on Zion, how about David Griffin? You talk about the Rangers blasting the league. Yeah. Here is the, I guess he's the president, right? Quote, he's injured now because of the open season there's been on Zion Williamson in the paint. There's more violence encouraged in the paint against Zion Williamson than any player I've seen since Shaq.
First off, they don't encourage violence against Zion. Secondly, he broke a finger.
No, but you
didn't get hit in the head.
I'm going to change your opinion on this. This is a strategy, and it's actually brilliant.
Put him to the line.
He's trying to get the officials in the league to give Zion more love next year and when he comes back. It's a strategy. It's Phil Jackson was brilliant at it. I got no issue. Just got to look closer at what he's doing.
Will the Pelicans be fined $250,000 tomorrow?
Yeah, they'll be fined.
Yeah? All right.
Really? You pandering a bunch over that? Like, is anybody really upset that the Rangers got fined $250,000?
Honestly. No, I'm not upset.
It's not your money.
No, they're mad about it in relation to Tom Wilson.
Yeah, well, listen.
They're mad Buchnevich got suspended a game and Wilson got 0.
Yes.
That's a problem.
And Buchnevich was pursued, by the way, before that incident occurred. And Tom Wilson came out today and basically was like, I don't know what the big deal was. It was just kind of one of those usual moves. Scuffles
Meanwhile,
in front of the net.
I thought I put together the greatest FSU video of all. I had, not my cat, because I don't like cats. I had a cat killing a mouse. And they put up the rainbow
bars.
Yeah,
sure. So that.
They wouldn't air.
They wouldn't air it.
Animal What's the cruelty? Reason for that?
I have no idea.
Because that's cruelty. Maybe.
Maybe it's animal, got involved.
It's not animal cruelty.
No.
It's called
PETA.
Nature.
Yeah. I didn't want PETA to get involved.
Yeah. And
that's straight Darwinism on an FSU.
That means Izzo once again took a mouse under his own hands.
He took liberties.
And took liberties.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not Craig harming an animal.
No.
It's an animal harming an animal.
By the way,
they show that on the Nature Channel every night.
I mean, the cat was in a cage and we dropped the mouse into it. But still, it's still nature. It's natural.
Look at you. You're outsourcing your FSU stuff now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that, I mean,
somebody else do the, let the cat do the dirty work. I can't be bothered.
Yeah. That's what it was. I thought it'd be great for FSU. Then I was going to go for next week because I figured it'd be such a big hit. Yeah. A friend of mine has piranhas. We were going to drop some mice into a piranha tank.
Why stop there? Throw some humans in there. No big deal.
Well, not yet.
Going to be a bloodbath.
I wouldn't do that.
How about a great white attack?
You drop a couple of mice in a piranha's tank. It's awesome. Yeah, it is a legitimate bloodbath.
I'm sure
we'll be there
is.
For the feeding. Yeah.
But I thought the cat eating the mouse today would be good. And then they try to soup it up with, you know, I'll have to show you the video.
I want to see the real video.
Or the edited video.
Yeah, that we need to see. That should be its own video.
Yeah but...
I know.
Yeah, just
I
put
know.
It up.
No, it Izzo took liberties. Yeah. You know,
he probably got some blowback from legal.
Find out if somebody told him not to.
I'm sure somebody did.
Upper management might have got involved.
It's unbelievable. I was so excited for it. I kept it under wraps all week, too.
I had no idea.
I did it on Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah.
They needed an EMT on site for the mouse.
Yeah, that's true.
I
couldn't book one. Yeah,
it was great. This cat's the cat was at a veterinarian's hospital.
Right.
And it's a crate.
Yeah.
Crate.
So they dropped them. They dropped the mouse in there.
How quickly did the mouse go?
It wasn't long.
It was instant.
Well, the cat was kind of in the corner, kind of minding his own business. And then all of a sudden he got all, cat-like.
Did he go...
His back hunched up.
Right.
His hair stood up.
Oh, yeah.
They dropped the mouse in. That mouse didn't have... It wasn't 30 seconds.
Did the cat go paw or mouth? How did the cat go? Grab with the paw.
Yeah. Oh.
Man,
right
the paw.
I wish I could see it. Yeah, I'll show you during the break.
So I have one more thing before you go. Before I go, I should say.
Yeah. Because
you talked about it earlier. Robert Saleh's little anecdote from today at rookie minicamp.
Go.
So first day on the field for the rookies and for him as the head coach. And even he had to remind himself of his new job.
We're going through and the horn blew for practice to be over. And I started to take my normal spot behind the huddle to listen to the head coach speak. And I was like, oh, shoot, that's me. So,
so likable.
He's so lovable.
Laughs at his own jokes.
Lovable, the whole way out with the Jets.
You just want to give him a big hug and say, you're my coach.
Do me a favor. Will you find Josh Richards for me? I want to, as a Canadian who loves hockey, I want to get his take on the New York Rangers dropping the gloves at the drop, but losing every single fight. 6 fights, 0-6. Is it really worth it?
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Josh, you there, buddy?
I think I'm here.
There he goes. All right, so you're the big hockey guy. So you were aware that the Rangers had a fight, obviously, the Capitals and Tom Wilson. But I guess one of the thoughts is, and I'm not a big hockey guy, if you're going to start 6 fights, don't you have to win one of them?
Yeah. It's like so hard because Wilson's a dirtbag. He is scum. So it's like I was so happy to see like these 6 fights, but you gotta win, man. You gotta win a fight.
Like
right?
I respect the fact that some of the guys like Smith, I guess, isn't a known fighter.
Brendan Smith.
So and Tom
Wilson. But
he's
their toughest player.
And Tom Wilson clearly knows how to handle himself. So he went into it knowing he's probably gonna lose the fight.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I think like it's how do you not do something like that after what Wilson's gotten away with,
right?
They're trying to make the statement a little bit weak because they lost every fight. Probably would have been better than the statement they made if they just won the fights.
Well, it's interesting because here in New York, it's been all about the Rangers. But it seems, and I think you just kind of hit on it, everybody thinks Tom Wilson's a douche.
But like he's a good player, right?
He's a good player, but he's a dirty player. So you were probably sitting there as a hockey fan hoping somebody was going to kick his ass.
Oh, 100%. I didn't think I could hate an NHL player more than Brad Marchand as like a Toronto Maple Leafs fan.
Right.
Wilson is scum of the earth.
Yeah, it's so weird because I don't follow it, but everything, all the experts are out there saying he's not your typical goon in that he's a talented player, right?
He's important for Washington, sure.
And what's weird about it is that, there's no suspension.
Right.
He's not missing any time. He's paid the $5,000. He kicked some more Rangers' ass, and now he's going to the playoffs. It's all good.
It seems like he won. It really seems like he kind of just walked out of this.
He did.
I mean, think about it. He serves no suspension. His team's going to the playoffs. Guys like you, everybody hates him, but I think he kind of likes that. And he never really got his ass kicked for it. So after all of this ends, the ultimate winner, unfortunately, is the bad guy in Tom Wilson.
I hope the Rangers just bring in a wheelbarrow full of pennies to pay. Just to-
Here's your $250,000. Count it. There you go.
Count it out.
You got it. Count it out and make sure it's right. We don't want to overpay you. That's a good point. Josh Richards is with us. You can see Josh on all the different social platforms, obviously TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and of course he's got his hands in a million different things these days, from financial literacy to mental health to production companies, all that cool stuff. So you'll be seeing and hearing a lot more from Josh coming up in probably the next 6 to 12 months for sure. Now, I wonder, I saw the nonsense with Jake Paul and Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul. Yep. And listen, I love what they're doing because when $1.5 million buy the pay-per-view and you net or you gross $65 million bucks on one night, everyone else can go F off because it's right. working. That being said, Mayweather's a different cat. Like, he's a legitimate, arguably greatest boxer of a century. And I think people are going to still pay to see it. My thought to you is, you have a different level of fame than a lot of people. You have a lot of people that care about what you do. Is there a price tag for you to say, hey, we know it works. We know people have an interest in it. I'm going to do it.
I think it would, one, depend on who I'm fighting. And then secondly, like, do we twist it into a charitable component, or is there some way it's actually benefiting an investment or a company that I'm associated with? I think, like, it would have to do more than just be a fight. Right. You know what I mean?
But you, right. the first thing
in
you
other
said,
words, own the pay-per-view, not necessarily fight in the pay-per-view.
Right, but,
I'm with you.
But the first thing he said is right on, and that's, who am I fighting? Like, yeah. if you're fighting someone like me, it's easy. You'll kick my ass. If you're fighting Floyd Mayweather, maybe it's not a good idea. It does come down to that. Let's be honest.
But Logan is the guy that's never won yet. So he doesn't really have anything to lose if he loses against Mayweather, right?
Yeah, it's also, of all the fights that I've had so far, this one is the one I actually have the least interest in.
Why?
Because Mayweather's the greatest pound-for-pound boxer of a generation.
So you just think it's going to be
like,
a bloodbath?
When you fight Ben Askren, Ben's a wrestler. He was a collegiate champion, and he's an MMA fighter.
Right.
But he wasn't a boxer.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. If you fight Nate Robinson, great, you know, athlete, not a boxer. You're now taking a kid who may very well have trained his ass off, but he's fighting not just any guy.
Right, but that's what makes
it... The greatest boxer of his generation.
But I think that's what makes it intriguing, because now it's a challenge. Now we get to see, like, does this guy really have the skill to stick with one of the greatest boxers of our time?
You guys see Mayweather calls out both of them at the conference?
Yeah,
you
yeah. Guys- yeah, yeah. He could... Listen, I wouldn't be...
He could box both of them.
Like... This is the only. I'm sure I'm going to watch it because I have nothing else going on, sadly, on a Saturday night. I've given up on life when it comes to weekend fun for right now. But right. This is the only, like, I have less interest in this one than all the other
ones. I disagree. I have more interest.
I know you want to watch.
I think this is the one I'm most excited for, honestly.
Yeah, I'm really? With you. I'm with him.
Because why? Because you think Mayweather's going to go Mayweather on him? Or you, right?
It's like, how does Mayweather... Mayweather not go Mayweather on him when he has the 51-0, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. I know one thing about you. You would have loved sitting next to me at Yankee Stadium the last three games. You know, a full-fledged, we can't say the words, of course, but, you know, just have fan base getting into it with F. Altuve. And the best one of all, maybe the greatest heckle job I've ever heard, F your birthday.
It's like, yeah, we hate the day you were born.
Right. Right. From now on, we're banning May 5th off the calendar, whatever the hell it was.
The problem is, you go to Yankee Stadium for a game like that, every baseball game's crowd is going to feel like a massive disappointment after sitting through F. Altuve, F. your birthday, because nothing ever matches that kind of intensity.
Hey. I know you're a big basketball guy. As Evan said this weekend, Lakers-Portland. Is that tonight?
That's tonight.
Lakers-Portland tonight. Yeah. Huge game tonight. I know you'll be watching it. And thanks for letting me explode an energy drink in my face last week. People seem to have a good time with that.
That was great.
The memes I took from that and the family embarrassment still lasts to this day.
That's good. Hey, yeah. Lives on.
Yeah, fascinating. Good
Thank
stuff.
You for that. I appreciate
it. But be good. Thanks for checking in on the hockey stuff. I just wanted to get an answer on that. And we'll hook up with you next week. All right, pal?
Hey, sounds good, man.
There you go. My main man, Josh Richards, out there in California. Big hockey guy. And there you go. If you're going to fight six times, it'd be nice to win one. Right? Right or wrong?
Of course.
Right or wrong?
Of course.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.